Whether you're just getting started or already established, UPS is here to help you make the most of your time. Their services, tools, expertise, and team of UPS Small Business Ambassadors can help businesses of all sizes simplify processes, improve customer experience, and guide you on the path to growth. My name is Elaine Tancomo, founder of Easy Daisies, Daily Visual Schedules for Kids, and I want to invite you to visit UPS.com to learn more and save up to 52% or more on shipping. This is a paid advertisement.
Welcome to the Canadian SME Small Business Podcast, the go-to source for Canadian entrepreneurs and business leaders. Join us as we dive deep into the heart of Canada's business community, bringing you inspiring stories, cutting-edge insights, and practical advice from our nation's brightest minds in marketing, innovation, leadership, and tech. Whether you're launching a startup or scaling your enterprise, our mission is to empower your journey with wisdom that makes a difference. Let's grow together, right here, right now.
Hi, everyone. This is Maheen, and welcome to another episode of the Canadian SME Small Business Podcast, where we explore topics that help small businesses thrive in today's competitive landscape. This episode discusses how custom software development can elevate your small business by really streamlining processes, boosting efficiency, and helping you scale. Our guest today is Luke Rogalski, who is the General Manager and Sales Director at Essential Designs, a custom software and app development agency. And with over 20 years of experience, Luke has helped hundreds of businesses from startups to Fortune 500 companies, really transforming through cutting-edge software solutions. And at Essential Designs, Luke oversees everything from project inquiry to delivery, ensuring the smoothest path for clients to enhance their digital operations. So without a further ado, let's welcome Luke and get started. Luke, welcome to the show. We're very thrilled to have you here today. How are you?
I am great, Maheen. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
We're very excited to share your experience in custom software development, which would be invaluable to our listeners. And we're really looking forward to dive into today's discussion. Now, to do that, Luke, how about we begin our discussion by really understanding why small and medium businesses leverage custom software? Tell us or enlighten our listeners about why should small businesses consider custom software instead of off-the-shelf solutions?
Yeah, that is a great question. And I think that faces every small or medium business at some point. But, I should preface this by saying that we'll always be honest and say, look, if you can get the job done with off-the-shelf software at an economical rate, that is a good way to go. It's not every business needs custom software. But when you start seeing some of the benefits in terms of being able to tailor the solution to the unique needs of the business is a big one. A lot of off-the-shelf softwares are really one box that not everyone fits into. Integrating with existing systems that a company may already be using. You may have three or four different systems you're logging into each day, creating sort of repetitive work and using up a lot of unnecessary time. So kind of unifying those platforms into one system could be another sort of impetus to move towards custom software. And then the costs of off-the-shelf software can be prohibitive sometimes too. Like, we work with a lot of growing businesses who may have started with a small user base. Mm-hmm. And if they're paying per user per month, that cost is digestible at the beginning. But once their staff starts expanding and they're paying per seat, those subscription costs can just start to become unmanageable. So sometimes just, the cost benefit can be a factor as well. When you think about custom software, it's typically at least the initial development cost, it's a one-time spend, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously, you need to pay attention to maintenance and hosting after the fact, but typically those costs are a lot smaller than what a company may have been already paying for an off-the-shelf solution. So those are a few reasons anyway.
Well, thank you so much for really emphasizing and highlighting that. The reason why small businesses should consider custom software is because it provides such a tailored functionality, scalability, and a better return on investment in the long term as well. But if you were to build onto this a bit more, Luke, when is the right time for small businesses to consider custom software development?
Sure. I kind of mentioned this earlier, but when off-the-shelf solutions either don't meet your needs, if you're paying for unnecessary features, or they become prohibitively expensive, right? Based on the number of users you're paying for, I should say. Certainly that's one reason. When the ROI becomes obvious, right, in terms of what we're spending now versus the one-time spend plus maintenance over time, a lot of times that's just a no-brainer when you get the trade-off. So that's part of it too. And, you know, we deal with businesses not just that are, you know, developing their first piece of custom software. A lot of businesses already have a legacy system they may have built 15 or 20 years ago. And those become outdated for a number of reasons. One is just the technology itself may have become outdated, is no longer compatible with some of the newer software they're using or the integrations they need. So that's a big one. And the other one is just simply maxing out on the number of users. Again, if a company starts small, they build a custom system for their first 10 employees, and all of a sudden they have 100 or 150 employees, that system's not going to be able to scale up typically because it was really built for a much smaller purpose. So a few of the reasons we've seen.
No, investing in custom software is ideal when the business has a clear vision of its needs. And very well said, Luke. They must have sufficient budget and the plans for long-term scalability, because all in all, that ensures tailored functionality, efficiency, and really a solid foundation for growth. Next up, let's learn about choosing the right custom software development partner. Luke, how can businesses choose the right agency in such a crowded market?
Sure. What I would look for first, and no, you know, no bias intended to Essential Designs, but experience for sure. How long has the agency or development firm been in business? And then based on that, look at the reviews, right? How are their customers talking about them? And don't look at the 5-star ones. Look at the 4-star reviews, the 3.5s, the ones where a company may not have quite delivered to full satisfaction, and you'll get a little bit more honesty in those reviews. So, definitely experience and reviews. Past projects is a huge one in terms of, the sort of familiarity with the type of tech you're trying to build. So, if you're a plumbing business, do you care if a company built a social media app? Not really. Mm-hmm. Right. So, looking for relevance in past projects, I think, is a big one. And this is kind of wide ranging, but vibe is just so important, feeling like you're gelling with the people you're talking to, that they're hearing you, you're communicating well, the responsiveness of the companies you're looking at as well should all factor into it too. But mostly you just want to make sure whoever you're dealing with has done this before and they've done it well.
Absolutely. Now, a thorough evaluation of these technical skills, the cultural fit, and the track record can really help businesses confidently select the best agency in the competitive market. But Luke, what should businesses without a tech team prioritize when they're evaluating partners?
Sure. Great question, because we step into that role a lot. For a lot of our clients, we almost act as their CTO once we get involved, because they may not have that sort of specialized person on staff. So we act as that person. Communication, again, is a big one, right? You're looking for somebody you communicate fluently with and is responsive. So that's a big one. Accurate expectation setting is we find a gap in the industry where we talk to clients where projects have gone sideways, in their past, where they sort of communicate their idea to a developer. The developer goes away for 6 months and comes back and hopes they like it, right? It's not the way to do things at all. So accurate expectation setting is a big one. And when we talk about our process, I can talk a little bit about how we accomplish that. But definitely it's paramount. I would also look for a complete team of experts. So every project has a lot of moving parts, and typically that involves a project manager overseeing the whole project. It involves ideally a UI UX design team that's specialized just in their work, right? In the designs, the visuals, the user experience, a great team of developers, a QA team for testing as well, and ultimately a deployment team to help the app go live. So looking for that sort of complete skill set in a team, I think, is really important, and identifying that a team will be able to serve you at each stage of the project, rather than hiring, counting on a developer to test their own software, right? You want independent testing rather than hoping a developer can, create designs that, a UI UX team would be far better at. So looking for that complete team, and then ongoing support, once the application is out there, How is it going to be supported? Do you have someone you can go to if you have, you know, issues or concerns or bugs, or you want to add something new? So knowing that you'll have that sort of post-deployment support, I think is really important as well. And again, some companies have that internal tech team to serve that. Like often at the end of a project, I shouldn't say often, but in some cases, we hand the project off to our client. They take it over, right. They're managing it. But in most cases, especially with smaller, medium-sized businesses, that infrastructure just isn't there on the company mm-hmm. side. So you know, looking for a partner for ongoing support would be really important as well.
There is absolutely no doubt when you mentioned that a reliable partner, they act as an extension of your team, really ensuring that your project success without requiring that those in-house expertise. Next up, Luke, we'd love to kind of, you know, discuss how to maintain and update custom software, because maintaining and updating custom software is so essential to ensure its long-term effectiveness and relevance. So yes, how do you ensure that custom software remains flexible and it continues to add value as the businesses scale?
Yeah, great question. Scalability is a big one, right? I talked earlier about some of these older legacy systems just not being able to manage large groups of new users or new employees. So having the ability to scale up, not just in terms of user base, but in terms of features as well. So a lot of times when we're taking on a project, we're obviously interested in the requirements for what we're building, but we talk about future requirements as well. You know, what are you mm-hmm. planning in the future? What's your wish list? You know, 5 years down the road, what would you like to do with the software? And making sure that that scalability is there and available when the time comes. So that's a big one.
Right.
Monitoring for updates is a big one as well. If you have a tech partner who is aware of upcoming changes, you know, occasionally Google or Apple app stores will announce new requirements or new changes. Mm-hmm. You know, a recent one, you know, in recent history was the ability for a user to do a single touch delete of their account and have guaranteed to have all their data, you know, removed from the application. So for our clients where we're managing maintenance, we're in front of those changes. We know about them long before they're going to happen. We can advise our clients. We can talk about the steps that are needed to make the software compliant. And then, you know, take those on rather than being caught in a situation where you're not aware of those requirements. And on the day they change, your app is removed from the app store. And now you're chasing your tail, trying to, you know, catch up to those requirements. So having a partner that's aware of any upcoming changes, and speaking sort of further to that, it really helps if your original developer also manages the maintenance because they have the best familiarity with the code. They're able to step in and do, you know, a 2-hour job where it might take an unfamiliar development firm, you know, 6 hours to do the same job to bring themselves up to speed, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So yeah, scalability, monitoring for changes, and, you know, if possible, collaborating with your original developer would all be high on the list there for sure.
Well, you're doing great work in terms of this proactive maintenance and the timely updates to protect the software's value and really align it with the business goals over time. So yeah, we wish you with a continued success with that, Luke. But as small business grow, or as small businesses grow, their needs also change, and it requires you know, updates to the custom software as well. And this can be very difficult to manage if the original software was not designed for scalability or flexibility, which I feel like it's one of the challenges that small businesses face. But what are some of the other challenges that small businesses face in maintaining the custom software?
Sure. I mean, one can simply be finding skilled developers, you know, for your updates. And again, that speaks to the benefit of keeping the original team on board in some fashion or another. You know, you want to pay attention to the code base, like the actual tech stack that platforms are built on. The sort of more popular the tech stack being used, the more you'll have a larger pool of developers to lean on for future maintenance, right? So you know, kind of thinking about what type of tech stack you're going to use or what code base you're going to use is important. You know, another sort of where we see things fall down sometimes is just insufficient documentation from the initial developer. So, you know, typically when a system is launched, if it's been tested properly and vetted properly, you're not really going to have any issues short term, right? You know, code is solid, it's built. But over time, you may find that things are starting to fall down. That's when you reach back into the original developer's handover of the code And ideally, there's detailed documentation in there to help with these things. So a new developer has the instructions essentially to deal with the code. But if that documentation isn't there from the very beginning, then there can often be a lot of catch up. So, you know, the solution again is partner with a reliable agency for long-term support, right?
Absolutely. And you've said it very well. I mean, the emphasis on regular maintenance, clear communication with partners, and planning for scalability are quite the key to overcoming these challenges and really ensuring the long-term success of custom software for small businesses. Now, another key area that we'd love to discuss and kind of delve into is customer feedback throughout the cycle or the life cycle of custom software, because it is so important to ensure that the product, you know, it remains relevant and remains effective and highly valuable to the users, increasing its chances for long-term success. So Luke, could you delve deeper into this and tell us, how does incorporating customer feedback into development improve the software experience?
Sure. Well, I would go as far as to say it doesn't just improve the experience, it's essential to the experience. Mm. Right. We really, like, when we're working with a new client, we try and embed ourselves into their world at the outset of the project. And that may be even before we take them on as a client, right? When we're evaluating the project, creating an estimate, building proposals, et cetera, we really try and just put ourselves in their shoes and work directly with them as though we're part of their team. Right. But, you know, getting that intake of feedback from their side, just make sure that we're addressing the real user needs that they have, right? Not sort of our idea of what they might need, but, you know, hearing it right from them. What are your customers needing? What are your internal users needing? And identifying those things in detail helps us identify pain points within a system, right? So especially with these sort of legacy rebuild projects we do, we'll often do, you know, 2-day walkthroughs of their existing systems on site, you know, going from computer to computer, taking screenshots, understanding the entire flow of what they're doing now and what's working, but most importantly, also what's not working, right? So identifying those pain points, hearing that directly from our client is essential. And then ultimately, if you take in all that feedback, and use it the right way, you're creating a product that's aligned with the customer's expectations, right? And again, whether that could be internal use within a company, because we do a lot of software that a company's customers never see. It's more just to automate internal processes. But if it's a customer-facing product, then really we need to know, you know, what is your clientele like, you know, and what are they looking for? So,
No, there's no doubt that feedback from customers, it helps businesses really prioritize which features to develop or refine next. Up next, Luke, we'd love to discuss managing scope creep in software projects. And for our audience who don't know what scope creep is, I'd just like to highlight. Scope creep refers to the gradual expansion or uncontrolled changes in a project's scope without the adjustments to time, cost, or resources. Luke, tell us, how do you handle the scope creep and ensure projects stay within the scope and the budget?
For sure. Yeah. Well, and this is extremely important to our client, but also to us, because as an agency, we use a fixed price quoting method. So when we're moving forward with a client, we do all the work on the requirements gathering side to make sure we're on the same page. We understand the project exactly as our client does. And we build that, build our proposals on a fixed price. So, you know, we take on some risk there. You know, if we happen to, you know, underestimate what a feature might take to code, that's fine. Like, we take on the extra time. So knowing that there's that risk to us as well, you know, we're very focused on the discovery side of things to make sure that the requirements are exactly what the client needs and we haven't left anything out, right? So, when we agree on the final requirements, ideally, everything is solidified there, but we take it one step further and really focus on accurate expectation setting during our design phase. And we do that in a couple of different ways. So obviously, you know, design is not just about the look of the application, it's about the experience as well. So when you hear the term UI, UX, it means user interface, user experience. So that's, our designers are really focusing on two things. So what they end up creating as part of the design phase is a clickable mock-up of the application, which allows our client to kind of click through the screens and take the user journey and make sure that everything they want is available in the application. And secondly, we create something called a functional spec doc, that combines the approved designs with a written logic of how each function and feature, like every tap, every click, will actually work within the application. So setting those expectation settings at the outset, and we collaborate directly with our client through all of that. I mean, we build those things, but our client has to approve them before we move forward. Mm-hmm. So ideally on day one of coding, right, our client and I and ourselves are on exactly the same page in terms of what's about to be built. So there's no ambiguity there at all. So as long as we stick to that letter, then you won't see any scope creep occur. We've got the requirements defined. We've outlined it in design. Everyone's agreed on it. And now it's just a matter of delivering that through coding. Now, if a client considers an idea we've never talked about, you know, two mm-hmm. months into a project, and they say, hey, this is great feature. We've talked about it. We'd like to add it. We'll all know then that that's out of scope because right. we've defined it so clearly. And we're happy to sort of look at that feature in a vacuum, let our client know what the cost might be, and they can decide if they'd like to add it on or not to the original project. But mm-hmm. accurate expectation setting is really the key to avoiding scope creep.
Thank you so much, Luke, for this breakdown. I mean, you really highlighted that by managing scope creep effectively, businesses can ensure that their software projects are completed on time, are within budget, and are aligned with their original goals. So again, thank you for that. Now, as we end our discussion or our conversation today, which I personally had a lot of fun, kind of discussing over, what's your most important piece of advice for businesses that are embarking on customer software development?
Sure. First and foremost, make sure you need custom software would be the big one, you know, and that's kind of undercutting what we do a little bit. But if you can accomplish something with an off-the-shelf platform and do it at a lower cost, we understand, right? It's not every business needs custom software, but mm-hmm. there comes a time typically when that it does become a need as businesses grow. So the biggest one is clearly defining your goals and requirements, right? So making sure that you're understanding, hey, what do we need, and communicating that clearly to whatever partner you decide to work with. In doing so, don't work backwards from an existing application would be a key suggestion. So, you know, when a client comes to us and says, well, I'd like to build Uber, you know, something mm-hmm. like Uber, we'll let them know, you know, it doesn't make Uber's probably put millions of dollars of development into their app by now. So looking at Uber and working backwards is just a huge mistake, because you're going to end up with a massive cost and features you don't particularly need. So working from the ground up with requirements, you know, is a big one for sure. And then lastly, you find a reliable development partner who communicates well, right? Mm-hmm. And that speaks to sort of the vibe aspect of this, but you've got to be comfortable with who you're working with. And if there's any question there at all, I would shy away from those types of relationships. So so those are the big ones from my point of view.
Thank you so much, Luke, for sharing your knowledge on custom software development and for really highlighting why custom software is so crucial for small business growth and how to manage it effectively. It was a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you for your time.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
And listeners, that was the end of our discussion with Luke Rogalski, with whom we had a great pleasure of, you know, hosting on the show. And we'd like to extend our gratitude to him, as well as to our partners, RBC, UPS, Constant Contact, IAG, and Google for their continued support. To dive deeper into the world of small business success, please visit CanadianSME.ca and subscribe to the magazine. Till then, we'll see you in the next episode.
Thank you for tuning in to the Canadian SME Small Business Podcast. Your support fuels our passion for empowering Canadian businesses. Don't miss out on our next episode, filled with fresh perspectives and actionable strategies. Subscribe at CanadianSME.ca and be part of a community that's shaping the future of Canadian business. Until next time, keep innovating, growing, and making a difference.